The old clunker was pushed several feet along the road. A man got out of the driver's seat, bent over, and was heartily sick in the road with shock. His face looked a pale puce with fright, if you know what pale puce is. If you do not know what that color is, well, he looked seasick or airsick or, in this case, carsick. Sightseers with staring eyes and slack jaws appeared from everywhere. Robin X peered out of windows, and small boys came scooting around corners yelling to their colleagues to come and look at the beautiful accident. A man rushed away to phone the police, and soon there was that cacophony which indicated that the police and an ambulance were coming to pick up the remains, and there were some remains. First the police car skidded to a stop, and then in this neck and neck race the ambulance skidded to a stop. Two policemen jumped out, and two ambulance men jumped out of their vehicle. They converged on the two cars. There was heaving and shoving and many shouts. A policeman dashed back into his car and grabbed the microphone, bawling mightily for a tow truck. He was shouting so loud that it was hardly necessary to use a radio. It seemed that anyone in the city could have heard. Soon from the far end of the street there came a flashing amber light, and a tow truck came roaring along the wrong way down a one-way street. But that was all right, they do such things in moments of crisis. The tow truck made a nice turn in the road and backed up to the wreckage. Quickly the little car, whatever it was, Austin Healey, Triumph, or something, was towed back a few feet. As it came to a stop the body of the young woman dropped to the ground. She was still faintly quivering with the last manifestations of her ebbing life. The old author floated above making an astral sound which might be interpreted as, TSK, TSK. Then he looked anew because above the now almost entirely dead body of the young woman a cloud was forming. And then the silver cord connecting the astral body and the physical body thinned and parted, and the old author saw that it was the exact replica of the young woman's body. He went to move after her shouting, hey miss, you forgot your knickers, but then he remembered that young ladies nowadays did not seem to wear knickers, they wore briefs or panties, or pantyhose, or something else like that, and he reflected that one could not, after all, run after a young woman telling her she had lost her pantyhose, her bra, and all that. Then he remembered that he was paraplegic in the excitement he forgot that he was not paraplegic in the astral. So the young woman drifted off up into the realms above. Down in the wreckage men were pushing and shoving and scraping up what could have been a couple of bottles of ketchup or raspberry jam. The fire department truck came along and they connected up their apparatus and hosed down the road, hosed down the blood and the gore and the petrol gasoline on the North American continent. There was gabble, 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 and still more gabble, and the old author got tired of looking at that. Tin pot cars going back to tin pot collections. No, he looked upwards just in time to see the young woman's posterior being obscured by a cloud. He followed. It was quite a good way, he thought, to spend a little time on a hot summer afternoon. So, having much experience of astral travel, he swept upwards and upwards and ever upwards until he outstripped, sorry, no pun intended, the young woman and got there before her. She was dead to the flesh, and she was alive to the other side, and it was always interesting to the old author to see newcomers approaching the metaphorical pearly gates. So he entered the realm of what some people call the other side and yet others call purgatory, but which in reality was merely what one should call a receiving station. He stood by the side of the road, and suddenly the young woman popped up straight through the center of the road. She popped up a few feet in the air and then sank back to ground level. A man appeared from somewhere and called to her, "New arrival?" The young woman looked at him disdainfully and turned her head away. Then the man called after her, "Hey miss, how about your clothes?" The young woman looked down at herself with horror and turned a very fetching shade of pink. It was a good blush, it extended all over her ample form, back and front, top, bottom and sides. She looked at the man and then she looked at the old author. Yes, he was a man too. And then she broke into a run, her feet pounding on the smooth road. She hurried along and then approached her fork in the road. For a moment she stopped and then she muttered to herself, "No, I won't take the right fork because right is the side of the conservatives, I'd better take the left, I might end up with some good socialists. And so she galloped on down the left road. She did not know that both led to the same place, like the old song in the Scottish Highlands where you take the high road and I'll take the low, and I'll be in Scotland afore you. So the two roads were just an experiment so that the recording angel, he liked to be called that, would have some idea of the type of person he was going to meet. The young woman slowed to a trot, and slowed still more to a walk. The old author, being wise in the ways of the astral, just floated along behind her. He was enjoying the scenery, all of it. Then the young woman stopped. In front of her were some shimmering gates, or they seemed to her to be gates because she had been preconditioned to believe in heaven and hell, pearly gates, etc. She stopped and a nice old angel came out, opened the gates, and said, "Do you want to come in, miss?" She looked at him and snarled, "Don't you call me miss, my man, I'm miss and don't you forget it." The nice old angel smiled and said, "Oh, so you are one of those, eh? I thought you were a miss because you are missing your clothes, you know." The young woman looked down again and blushed anew, and the old angel chuckled in his long beard and said, "Now, don't you be nervous of me, young lady, or should it be lady, man, because I've seen them all, backways, frontways, and everything else. You just come in. The recording angel is expecting you." He opened the gates a bit more and she entered, and then he shut them behind her with quite a clang, an unnecessary clang, the old author thought as he floated in above the gates. But the old angel, she knew it was an angel because he was wearing an ice bath robe and his wings stuck out from his shoulders and flapped feebly as he walked, but, anyway, the old angel led her along a little way and opened a door saying, "You go in there. Go straight along that corridor and you will find the recording angel sitting in the hall at the far end. You'd better be nice to him. Now, don't be too sneering and don't be too MSSing or he'll mark you down for the nether regions, and what he says is final." He turned away and nearly bumped into the old author, who said, "Hi, Pop, so you've got another one here, eh? Let's go in together and watch the fun." The guardian of the gateway said, "Yes, business has been a bit dull this morning, been so many righteous people coming by I got tired of letting them in. I'll come in with you and we'll watch the fun. The others can wait a bit." So together the angel of the portal of death and the old author walked arm in arm down the corridor, and in the big hall at the end they sat down together on astral seats as they watched the young woman, her behind twitching nervously, walk up to the recording angel. The recording angel was a short fat man and his wings did not fit too well because they clattered a lot as he talked. It was much the same as an old woman when she talks, her teeth clatter and nearly fall out. Well, the recording angel was like that. Every time he moved his wings twitched and, to make the matter even worse, the top sides of the wings kept on nearly knocking off his halo. With some astonishment the young woman saw that the halo was in fact held on with strips of sellotape. She sniffed hard. Things were very peculiar, she thought, but just then the recording angel looked at her face. He had been looking at everything else first and he asked, "Date of death? Where'd you die? Where did your mother die? And where's your father now, heaven or hell?" The young woman sniffed and sniffed. She was becoming frightfully embarrassed by all this, the way people were looking at her. And anyway, some of the pollen from the flowers in the heavenly fields weren't half tickling her nostrils. Suddenly she gave one terrific sneeze and nearly blew the recording angel's halo off. "Oh, pardon," she said in embarrassment, "I always sneeze like that when I smell strange doors." The angel of the portal of death did a wheezy chuckle, and said, "Oh yes, him you know," jerking a thumb at the recording angel, "is a bit of a stinker. We get a lot of people sneezing when they get a niff of him." The recording angel looked at the papers before him and muttered, "Oh yes, date of death, date of this, date of that. Well, we don't want that. I've asked the questions, but if the young woman should give me the information I should be the rest of the day filling out forms, this red tape, you know." Suddenly he looked again at the young woman's face and said, "Say, did you bring up any spare fag ends? I could do with a smoke, and it's a very strange thing, but when people come up here first they always throw away their cigarette ends. They are a lot better off down in the hellish quarters because so many smoke there. Anyway, before they're finished. The young woman shook her head in increasing amazement, indicating that no, she hadn't any cigarettes or anything else smokable. So the recording angel grunted and said, "Where'd you die? Did you have a good undertaker?" He fiddled about among his papers and picked out a card which read, "I. Digsom, Bear Isle Unlimited. Undertaking our specialty. Cremations a convenience." "There," he said, "that's where you should have been fixed up. We get a lot of customers from there and we always know just fine how well they've been treated because we look at their scars." The young woman was just standing there, and in the end she looked down and let out a shriek of rage. "Look," she screamed, "you've got me down on that form as Miss." "I'm not Miss, I'm Miss. I demand that you alter it now. I won't have this discrimination." She fumed and fumed, and she went red all over. It was easy to see where she went red because she had no clothes on, so she went red all over and stamped her feet with temper. The recording angel made soothing noises and said, "Whoa, whoa, steady there, now, steady. You know where you are, don't you?" Then he pursed his lips and made that sound known as a raspberry before saying, "Well, Miss, we don't acknowledge Miss here. You have already decided where you are going to go because any women's lib person or any media person is denied the heavenly experience. Instead they go down to the hellish fields. So there you are, lass, pick up your feet again and keep moving them forward. You'd better get down. I'll phone old Nick now and say you're on the way down. Be sure you give him my kind regards in person because we've got a thing going to see who can take most patients from the other. He wins this one fair and square because you're a libber." He turned away and reached for his waste paper basket. Then, scrumpling up her form, he put it in and carefully straightened up his desk and got out a fresh set of papers. The young woman looked about her uncertainly and then turned to the old author saying, "Aren't they most unhelpful here? There's such a lot of discrimination. I shall certainly complain when I meet the top brass. But how do I get to the hellish regions from here?" The old author looked at her and thought what a pity she had to go to hell. They would certainly give her a roasting there with her bad temper and her smart Alice's attitude. But then he said, "It doesn't matter which way you go, all roads lead to hell, you know, except one, and that's the one you've missed. So just start going down that road, you'll find you are going downhill fast." The young woman snorted and said, "Well, aren't you going to open the door for me? You call yourself a gent?" The old author and the guardian of the portal of death looked at her in astonishment, and the guardian said, "But you are one of these liberated people. If we open the door for you, you will say that we are denigrating you and not giving you free rein to your rights, one of which is that you can open the blasted doors yourself." The guardian turned with a snort and bustled off to do his duties at the gates because someone was trying to get in and rattling the bars. "Come along, you," said the old author, "I'll show you the way. I've got quite a few friends down there, and of course an even greater number of enemies. But be careful when you get down there because about 50% of the population are ex-media people and they are not very popular. Come on, let's go." Together they walked down a road and the path seemed quite endless to the young woman, who suddenly turned to the old author and said, "But don't they have a rapid transit system here at all?"
"Oh no, no," said the old author, "you don't need a rapid transit system here because everybody is going to hell as fast as they can go. Just look down at the people on earth now," and he nudged her to look over the edge of the road, and there, to her astonishment, she found she was looking down to the people of Earth. The old author continued, "Look at that man down there, sitting behind his big desk. I'm sure he is a publisher's editor or something, or possibly he stopped a moment and fingered his beard before going on." Then, "Yes, yes, I know exactly what it is," he said excitedly, "that one down there is an author's agent. When you get down to the nether regions you might fork out a shovelful of hot coal and drop it on him. It will serve him as coals of fire." Then they turned a curve in the road and before them were the gates of hell glowing blood red and shooting off sparks in the murkiness. As the two came down the path towards the gates, the young woman saw a really hot devil grab his trident and a pair of asbestos gloves. Quickly putting on the gloves, he reached for the handle of the gates and swung them back, smoking and sending out showers of sparks. "Come along, ducks," he said to the young woman. "We have been waiting for you. Just come into our party. We know how to deal with young women like you. We'll soon teach you that you are a woman and not just a libber. We'll teach you that you are a sex symbol, okay?" He turned and pushed the young woman in front of him, and quite gently put the prongs of his trident to her posterior. She leapt up into the air with an eldritch screech, her feet pumping and running before she hit the ground again. The devil gatekeeper turned to the old author and said, "No, no, old fellow, you can't come in here. You had your hellish time on the world. Now we'll give some of your persecutors and detractors a bit of a roasting. You go back and stir up some more trouble. We want some more victims here for shoveling coal and carrying out the clinkers. Be gone with you, do." So the young woman disappeared from the old author's dream. She disappears from our pages as well, and we can only surmise, perhaps lewdly or lustily, at the fate of such a young woman with curves in the right places and bumps in the right places, condemned to such a beautifully hellish atmosphere, although she herself would have admitted she was not quite good enough for the heavenly atmosphere. So the old author wandered up the path again, keeping his eyes open and his ears open for the sights and sounds which made up such a large amount of the life of the hellish part of the other side. As he gazed about, he saw behind him the inferno. Great gouts of flame shot up into the sky, and things which looked like fireballs, those things which are such a feature of firework displays. Then there were showers and showers of bright sparks going up, describing a parabola, and coming down again. Every so often there came hoots, shouts, and screams, and the whole area was of a ruddy hue which was most unpleasant. The old author turned away, and as he did so there came the clatter of the red-hot door opening, and shouts of, "Author! Author! A hellish crew, what a pity they were not a heavenly horde," came pouring out of the open gates and rushed up the slope yelling, "Author! Author!" The old man sighed fit to bust the stitches out of his pants if he had had any on, and turned back. At this point it might be as well, because of the lady readers, to make it clear that although he had no pants on, he did have on the appropriate robe, so the ladies can go on looking at the print. There was a lot of beckoning, gesticulating, shouts and all the rest of it as the author went down the hill again and sat on a bench, from which he rose hurriedly because of the heat. From the gates a very large man with a pair of well-polished horns emerged. He had a tail with a barb on the end, and the tail had a very attractive blue bow on it. I suppose the blue was as a contrast to the prevalent red of the atmosphere. He came out and greeted the old author, saying, "I could do with you here. You know, I could do with you here in hell, and I sure would offer you a very good job. How about it, eh?" The old author looked about, and then he replied, "I don't know about that. This is sure one hell of a dump, you know." The Lord Satan looked even more satanic and picked his teeth with a splinter from some old coffin which he had happened to trip over on his way out. As he picked his teeth, the wood charred and gave off tiny sparks as old rotten wood will. Some of the sparks fell in the direction of the old author, who fell even more quickly out of their way. Satan said, "You write a hellish lot, old man. That's what I want. I really could do with you, and I have a lot to offer you, you know. What do you want, dames or dolls or whatever you call them? Small boys? No, don't vomit here, it'll make an awful stink with the press if you do. Or what else do you want?" Well, the old author was feeling a bit vomitous at the thought of the small boys being offered, but then he thought of the dames or dolls, broads or what have you, and that didn't seem very attractive either. After all, everyone knows what trouble women can make. "I'll tell you what," said the devil with a gleam in his eye, "I know what you would like. How about a bunch of liberated females, and then you could teach them that this liberation is a stupid thing indeed? Yes, I can give you any number of these ladies. Some of them are awful people, too. Just say their word and you shall have as many as you want." The old author scowled and said, "No, I don't want any liberated women. Send them away as far as you can, keep them out of my way. The devil laughed out loud and he had a real devilish gleam in his eye as he shouted, "I know, I know. How about a few media people? You really could have a hell of a time with them. You could let them write some hot words and then you could make them eat them. Yes, that would be the thing to fetch you in. Have your fun with the media, they've had their fun with you. How about it, old man, eh?" The old author shook his head once again. "No, no, I don't want anything to do with those subhumans. I regard media people as definitely evil, and they should be your handmaidens or handmen, or whatever you like to call them. Don't let me get near them, I don't like them. I would even like to strike an extra match under their boiling pot or whatever you do with them." The devil sat down on a fresh spot and steam rose alarmingly from his rump. He crossed one leg over the other and his tail swished with the intensity of his thought. Suddenly he jumped to his feet with a scream of triumph. "I know, I know," he shouted. "How about having a nice yacht, or, as you have always been interested in paddle boats, how about having a nice paddle boat all on your own? You can have a hellish mixed crew and you can have a hell of a time going around in the hot lakes and all the rest of it. You can have the Red Sea as your playground. It's red with human blood, you know, you'll like it, hot blood tastes really good." The old author looked disdainfully down and said, "Devil, you don't seem to know much. Don't you realize that if I had a paddle boat I would be in hot water because the Red Sea of human blood is just about boiling. Isn't that hot water?" The devil laughed and said, "You are making mountains out of molehills, or should it be molehills out of mountains? Anyway, what's your beef?" "Of course, down here the beef would be well cooked. But anyway, what is your beef? You've been in hot water all your life, haven't you? I should have thought you would have grown accustomed to it by now." The old author fiddled about in the hot sand with his feet, drew patterns, and the devil looked down and screeched with pain as he spied various religious symbols such as the Tibetan Wheel of Life, etc. He screeched with pain and hopped up and down, and by accident he got one hoof on the symbol and up he went in the air with a whoosh, disappearing right over the red-hot gates. When last seen he was flying in the direction of the Red Sea of human blood. The old author was so astonished that he sat down on the bench again, and rose a great deal quicker than the devil had because that seat was hot, and hotter now that the devil had sat on it. But he dusted off his smoldering robe and decided that this was the time to get out of it. Hell was no place for him. So once again he moved on up the hill away from the pit. This time he moved a darn sight faster. At the top of the hill he met a guardian of the pits who greeted him affably and said, "Hi, cock, haven't he seen many coming this away? They're usually going that away. You must have been too good to be let in." Then he looked at the old author and said, "Oh, yay man, I recognize you, you sure are some cat, you write them Rampa books, don't you? Well, you're no friend of ours, you've kept many a bad soul from coming to us. You be on your way, man, we don't want any truck with you, off you go." And then before the old author could get going, the guardian called to him saying, wait a minute, I've got something to show you." And he pointed to some strange device standing beside him, and he said, "Now, look through that. You'll get a good picture of hell. It's interesting. You'll see all manner of stockades. We've got publishers in one, agents in another, media people in another, and over there to the left we have liberationists. Next door to them we have a special stockade for old Etonians, and, do you know, they don't fraternize a bit, no. But come and look for yourself." The old author approached gingerly and then changed his mind in a hurry at the amount of heat coming out of the eyepieces. Without another word he turned and made his way up the hill. At the top he saw again the pearly gates. The guardian of the pearly gates was just moving out to close and padlock them for the night. He waved, and said, "Hiya, bud, did you like it in hell?" The old author waved back and answered with a shout, "No, there's too much of a hellish atmosphere down there." The guardian of the pearly gates called back and said, "It's worse here in our heavenly atmosphere. We've got to mind our P's and Q's. We mustn't say a bad word. If we do, we have to go down to the pit and stick our tongue on a hot plate there. I should go back and write another book if I were you. And that is what the old author did. He moved along wondering what else he should look at. Should he see the fountain of pearls or the pavement of gold? But as he was thinking that, he heard a loud clang somewhere. It sounded like glassware being clattered together. Then he felt a sudden pain, and he jumped back to awareness to hear a voice saying, "Come on, come on, it's time for your injection." And as he looked up, there was an ugly great hypodermic needle coming down to poke him in the rump. The voice said, "What, you writing again about the afterlife?" "No," said the old author, "I am writing the last of this book, and these are the last words in this book."